right. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being here at the end of the conference. We are all the survivors. Today I'm going to talk about access to health, access to parks and mental health among adolescents. I'll start off by saying I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this work, Sam Krumholtz and Joelle Wallstein, as well as some colleagues who helped with the research from the Trust for Public Land, Reese Robertson and Brenda Faber, for creating the analytic park GIS database that we used, and Yu-Ching Yang for statistical support. All right, so just mental health and emotional well-being are crucial in and of themselves, but they're also important for our overall health and well-being. For example, anxiety and mood disorders are related to risky behaviors like alcohol and drug use, risky sexual behaviors, and also intimate partner and family violence, as well as health conditions like obesity and diabetes. Focusing on mental health of adolescents is important also because many mental health problems emerge during this period. So what might be the role of the neighborhood environment in mental health? So some research suggests that the neighborhood environment is related to mental health, including research suggesting that access to open space and green space is related to mood and mental health. Much of this research, however, has examined this relationship among adults, and I've listed a few of those up there if you're interested. But few studies have focused on this relationship among adolescents. So why would we think that parks and open space might be related to mental health? Well, there's some research suggesting that parks and open space are related to mental health because increased exposure to nature has been positively associated with improved mood. Parks and open space also provide opportunities for physical activity, and physical activity has also been shown to increase mood. And finally, parks and open space can contribute to a sense of community among neighborhood residents, which may also be beneficial for mental health. So our research had a couple of objectives. First, we wanted to know whether there's an association between access to parks and mental health among adolescents. And then second, we wanted to look at the possible role of physical activity, because access to parks has been related to physical activity and also has been found to improve mood. So it's possible that physical activity is one pathway through which parks may impact mental health. So just a little overview of our methods. We used a cross-sectional analysis of existing data. We used geographic information systems, or GIS, to link health survey data with locations of public parks and open space in California. And we conducted regression analyses to examine our research objectives. So we used a few different data sources. The first was the 2009 California Health Interview Survey. The California Health Interview Survey is a telephone survey of households in California. It interviews over 47,000 households, including approximately 3,400 adolescents in 2009. Interviews are conducted in every county in the state and in five different languages: English, Spanish, Korean, Chinese, and Vietnamese. The weighted survey data are representative of the California population living in households, so it doesn't capture folks living in non-household situations. And the survey includes questions on health status and health behaviors, as well as a range of demographics and socioeconomic variables. But importantly for the research I'm going to talk about, they also collect residential address. All right, we also use data from the California Protected Areas database to identify the locations of parks in California. CPAD is a GIS inventory of 49 million acres of protected open space in California. It includes national, state, and regional parks, forests, preserves, and wildlife areas, as well as large and small urban parks. It's maintained by Green Info, which is a nonprofit organization, and the Trust for Public Land used the CPAD data to create the GIS park analytic data that we subsequently linked with the California Health Interview Survey. Our outcome of interest in these analyses was psychological distress that was measured by the Kessler 6-item psychological distress scale. This is a 24-point scale that's based on responses to the items that you can see up there. Basically, the adolescents were asked, in the past 30 days, how often did you feel nervous, hopeless, restless or fidgety, so depressed that nothing could cheer you up, that everything was an effort and worthless? Responses were assigned the values shown here and then summed up so that higher scores on this scale correspond to greater levels of psychological distress. Our variable measuring access to parks was measured objectively based on the locations of parks in California, and then buffers were drawn around the park boundaries so that the boundaries of the parks were basically expanded out either a quarter mile for small parks that were less than an acre in size or a half mile for larger parks bigger than an acre. Next, we mapped the CHIST respondent household locations, and respondents were defined as living in a park service area if their residence was located within these buffers of a quarter mile for smaller parks or a half mile for larger parks. We also adjusted for several covariates in our analyses. Basic demographics like age, gender, race, including these categories, Latino, Asian, African American, American Indian, white, and multiracial, as well as household income, which we looked at as percent of the federal poverty level. And just to give you an idea, if you are wondering, in 2009, the poverty line was around $22,000 for a family of four. So 200% of the federal poverty level would be an annual income of about $44,000 for a family of four. All right, we also, in our analyses, adjusted for neighborhood income, which we used median household income in the census tract, urbanicity, urban areas, smaller cities, suburban areas, and rural areas, and we controlled for body mass index, which was based on self-reported height and weight and categorized according to the CDC's reference growth charts for age and gender-specific percentiles. In addition, we adjusted for neighborhood safety, which was also self-reported by the adolescents. And they just were asked whether they feel safe in their neighbor or how often they feel safe in their neighborhood, all of the time, most of the time, some of the time, or none of the time. However, we combined the some and none of the time response categories because a very small percentage actually reported feeling unsafe none of the time. We also controlled for the parents' marital status and in some of our analyses, physical activity. So our sample included 3,379 adolescents. We conducted linear regression analyses looking at the relationship between access to parks and mental health. And we I'm going to be showing you the results from two separate models, one that includes all of the covariates I just went over except physical activity, and then one that includes those covariates as well as physical activity. So our adolescent population, which I think I forgot to mention, includes people ages 12 to 17. The average age was 14.6. Just under half of our population was female. 43% lived in urban areas and 10% in rural areas. And 12.8% of them reported that their neighborhood was safe some or none of the time. 75% lived in a park service area. And the average distress score was 4.7, suggesting that most of the adolescents reported that they felt those feelings of hopelessness and worthlessness only a little or none of the time in the past month. So, what did we find? In our multivariate regression analyses, adjusting for all of those covariates I talked about just a little while ago, except for physical activity, we found that living in a park service area was associated with lower psychological distress, and this was independent of the other variables included in our model. We also found that being female, feeling your neighborhood was not safe, living in an urban area and being obese were related to higher psychological distress scores. When we added physical activity to the model, as well as all those other covariates, the relationship between living in a park service area and psychological distress became marginally significant. So I put the p-value up there so you can see it was pretty close, but this slide shows the coefficients from the model, and the first model on your left is the model that does not include physical activity, and then model two does include physical activity. And you can see the coefficients for park service area are shown in red, and they're not that different between the model that includes physical activity and the model that does not include physical activity. However, as I mentioned, adding physical activity to the model did reduce the significance of that effect from significant to marginally significant. Okay, so to summarize, we found that access to a park or open space was significantly and independently associated with lower psychological distress. However, including physical activity in the model slightly decreased the strength of this association between access to parks and mental health. So the study has some limitations, which I'd like to mention. First of all, it was cross-sectional, so we can't draw conclusions about whether access to parks causes better mental health or even about the direction of this relationship. In addition, we don't have measures about what's available in the parks or the quality of the parks. And other research suggests that these factors are important for levels of physical activity at parks as well as use of parks. And then finally, we don't know whether adolescents used the parks. Although at this point, it's also not clear whether the mere presence of the parks may be related to mental health or if you actually have to use the parks to reap those benefits. So in conclusion, we found that access to a park was related to lower levels of psychological distress among teens. And this relationship may be influenced by physical activity, but more work will be needed to really tease that out. And our results also suggest that it's possible that access to parks and open space may help promote mental health and well-being among adolescents. But again, because of the cross-sectional nature of our research, can't make any causal conclusions about that. Thank you. Yeah, I also thought it was quite low, and I have to admit I am not a mental health expert, so I'm not sure how high I would have expected it to be. But yeah, I mean, the teens in our sample were not at least self-reporting a lot of psychological distress. Yeah.
Well, you have a pretty large sample size, right? Like 4,300?
Yeah, it was about 3,400, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting suggestion. Thank you. Yes.
I understand that you don't know who actually went to the park and used it.
Right.
But did you look to see if people who had access to a park had experienced more physical activity?
Oh, yeah, so that's a good question, and thanks for asking. We have looked at that in other analyses that I obviously didn't present today, and we do find that those who live in those park service areas do report more physical activity. So, yes, thanks. Yes. Yeah, so those questions were actually included on the main survey in 2009. Yeah, so they were asked with all of the other health and sociodemographic questions.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know specifically if it includes things like large medians. What I do know is that in order for spaces to be included in that particular data set, they have to be protected. And so if it's not a protected green area or open area, then it would not be included. And it also has to be open to the public. So there are increasing numbers of sort of privately owned, open to the public green space that also are probably not included in this database.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I don't know off the top of my head. I could find out, but I don't have that information with me. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good question because we didn't take that into account in these analyses. Yeah. Yes. Last question. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, the question was about whether we had looked at the mental health or how what happens at school might affect mental health and the quality of the schools and those sorts of things. And in our research, we haven't looked at that, but on this survey, they do ask the name of the school that students attend or that children and adolescents attend, and so it would be possible to incorporate that kind of information if it was available from the Department of Education or other sources, but it's not something that we've looked at specifically. However, the survey has also asked questions about bullying, and I don't recall if they were included in the 2009 survey or not, but so it would also be possible to look at that issue in survey years where those questions were included. Thanks.